time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The sideline report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for joining us this morning. We're going to start the day with Tom Rogers of YourSportsEdge.com. Tom is standing by, so we'll jump into the show this morning and start talking with Tom. Tom, good morning. Thanks for coming back on the show this week.
Hey, morning, sir. How are things on that side of the world?
A little cloudy, but I think the weather's going to get better as we go along today, and shouldn't have any problems for any of those night games tonight on the high school sports schedule.
Yeah, it's... I know we had to cancel some stuff, but we desperately needed the rain, so it was good to see the rain.
Well, it feels like the weather has been a big part of the fall sports season since we started, because I don't remember ever seeing this many suspended games or canceled games or whatever in one fall sports season.
No, it has been a lot. You know, we've done everything in the fall from it's too hot to play to it's too wet to play to oops, there's lightning in the area. And I think we've seen more with football this time than we normally get.
Yeah, we should be okay tonight, though. But I know we had a soccer match just over in Hopkinsville earlier this week that got suspended, and a big 8th district match that they had to finish Wednesday night.
Yeah, the UHA match against Hopkinsville Tuesday night, they got all the way to about minutes from halftime. They didn't see lightning. They had the lightning detection system, and they said, hey, it's within 8 miles. They stopped, and about 5 minutes later, the bottom fell out. So they suspended that, and then they came back and finished it last night, and it ended up producing one of the shocking results of the soccer season so far.
Yeah, Hopkinsville is going to get the number one seed over there.
Yeah, that took me back. I thought after they suspended it at 0-0, I thought UHA would come back and get that. I thought UHA had like two starters who had walked the golf course on Tuesday at the Boys Region Golf Tournament. And so I thought a couple of those guys looked tired when they got started Tuesday night. So I thought when they suspended at 0-0, got those guys a night rest. So I thought when they come back last night, I thought UHA would win it, but you got to give Hoptown credit. They held UHA scoreless over 2 days.
Well, and we had all kinds of problems Friday night last week with football games getting going. Kiowa County and Trigg County kicked off an hour and 18 minutes late last Friday. Some games weren't even that fortunate. There was a couple of games that just got canceled.
Yeah, Hopkins Central and Kentucky. How would you like to be Kentucky Country Day? You make a 3-hour trip Morton's Gap, spend a couple hours there, and then you go home without doing anything.
Yeah, you don't even get to play.
You don't even get to play. I was actually at the one game that started on time, finished early Friday night. So,
well, I kind of felt bad for, you know, being upset that everything got pushed back, because when our game was over, which was just before 11 o'clock, I found out that Hopkinsville's game was only at halftime at about 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I think they wrapped up, I believe, after midnight, and I talked to some of the administration, and it was like 1:32 when they got to go home.
So it's a little unique to see those kind of things. And, of course, we had lots of excitement at Tiger Stadium, because after we finally got the go-ahead to have the homecoming ceremony start and try to edge toward kickoff, just before the announcement of the homecoming queen, the lights go out at Tiger Stadium.
Did you pull the plug on that?
No, somebody hit a pole, I believe, over on Linton Way, and it knocked the power out momentarily. And with the lights at Tiger Stadium, it takes them, you know, a good 10 minutes to come back up once they go out. So we were all in the dark for a while.
Tell Jeff Riley if you get some LED lights there that you won't have that problem anymore. They'll come right back.
If we had those Webster County lights like we had a couple of weeks ago, they would have popped right back on.
Yeah, those LED lights are nice, and you can do some fun things with them, and they come right back on.
But like I said, I just don't remember a sports season. You know, sometimes in the spring the weather plays an effect, but usually that's just it rains and you cancel the game that night. But it seems like in the fall we've had a whole lot of suspended games. I think the first week of the season we had a couple of games suspended, and it's just kind of kept up throughout the fall.
Now all we need is some snow in the playoffs.
No, we don't need snow.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird, though, when you start talking about the weather, because it seems to me like when I first started covering high school sports, that by this time of the year, the nights were usually getting a little cooler. Sometimes it was downright cold. You know, the last couple of weeks of the soccer season used to be that way. These days, it seems like we just about get through soccer season before we have the cold weather really move in.
Yeah, I was going to say, I broke out my jacket Tuesday night, but I didn't break it out because it was cold. I broke it out because it was a rainproof jacket. But you're right, yeah. Nor I can remember times you and I were covering back in the day when I used to do a radio broadcast for Caldwell County Soccer. By this time, we're getting jackets. We're trying to, you know, we're walking and pacing, trying to stay warm. And you and I went to some regional soccer matches where it was flat cold.
Yeah, I remember a district tournament over at Dawson Springs at Riverside Park one year. And that was about as cold a soccer match as I've ever covered. And, of course, you're over there. It's kind of around the river anyway. And it just got really cold that night. And, you know, those kind of stick out in your mind for some reason.
Yeah, and I also remember a year, was it Caldwell County or Lyon County? It was playing Hoptown at the stadium, and it rained, and they were running in ankle-deep water on the sides of the field. And it poured the whole match, and people were in their cars listening to us on the radio and watching from outside the stadium.
If we're talking cold games, though, I think Caldwell County's football playoff game at Butler County, I guess that was around 91 or 92. It was right after they had change the rules for the top four teams to make the playoffs. That might have been the coldest football game I've ever been to.
We went one year at Caldwell to Glasgow, and it was cold.
Yeah. Now, the state semifinal game against DeSales up in Louisville that one year was really kind of cold, and it was weird because it was cold up there, but the next week for the state championship game in Bowling Green.
Oh, it was gorgeous at the stadium in Bowling Green. That's next weekend.
Yeah, it was sunny, and I think temperatures were in like the lower 60s or something. So it was a great day for football. So you just never know. But
well, if you remember the state championship year, the worst weather we had was the first week of the playoffs. It was cool. It got progressively warmer, and when we went to Cardinal Stadium for the game against Danville, all of us were in shirt sleeves.
Yeah, we were wearing shorts on the sideline that game.
Yeah, I can remember looking over the Waterston Expressway, I-65, and thinking, it's warm up here.
Yeah, that was 98, and the funny thing was, the year before, 97, I know Hopkinsville was in the state championship game up there, and it snowed during their game.
Yeah, but it was the Caldwell-Danville game, that was nice weather.
And you start talking about the weather. Golf is another sport that has been impacted this fall. The state first round was supposed to be at Drake Creek Golf Course in Leadbetter this year, but the hot weather kind of took its toll on that course. The course was deemed unplayable by the KHSAA, so they had to move the state first round, and they moved that to Calvert City. But the problem there is Calvert was already supposed to host the girls' regional tournament, and you can't host the regional and the state first round in the same year. So it left school officials scrambling to find another site. Ended up going to Rolling Hills Country Club in Paducah for the girls' regional. And the boys' regional, of course, was Tuesday down at Murray Country Club. And, you know, we dodged rain showers Monday and Tuesday. It was probably a little miserable for some of the girls who went out early Monday morning. But for the most part, we got pretty lucky with the weather Monday and Tuesday at regional golf because we got those in and didn't really get drenched except for the early morning on Monday.
Yeah, and at least it had cooled down a little bit, and so we weren't dealing with any of that hot weather while they were having to walk those. But yeah, it was. I know you and Scott were dodging it and, you know, dealing with delays on Monday. I think it was better Tuesday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It rained just a little bit, but nothing major. You saw a few umbrellas pop up from time to time, but no downpours. And of course, after we left the course Tuesday at Murray, about an hour and a half, 2 hours later, then the heavy rain showed up. So we timed it out pretty good.
Yeah, got it in, got it done, and got out before it broke loose.
We're talking this morning with Tom Rogers of YourSportsEdge.com here on the Sideline Report. We need to get to a break. We'll come back and have more right after this. Stay with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
It's a proven fact. Going on vacation is really good for your health and happiness. But if money is holding you back from sandy beaches, the mountains, or relaxing by a pool, then you need to visit ABC Finance. They can help get you to that vacation destination you've been dreaming about. They offer loans from $500 to $15,000, and decisions are made quickly, usually within an hour. Your dream vacation is within reach with help from ABC Finance. All loans subject to normal credit approval.
This is Todd Morse at the Hopkinsville ABC Finance location.
And this is Courtney Morse at ABC Finance in Princeton.
Whatever location is closest to you, we're here to help make your loan process quick, easy, and stress-free.
We can even consolidate all your loans into one easy payment.
No appointment is needed, walk-ins are welcome, and we can take your application in person, over the phone, or apply online at abcfinanceonline.com.
Be sure to like and follow ABC Finance on Facebook for daily money tips and community info.
All loans subject to normal credit approval.
Powering your lives and lighting up your nights. Princeton Electric Plant Board's community spirit shines bright. Entrusted with the glow of our fields, they keep our Tigers' pathways illuminated to victory. A shout out goes to our Tigers as they roar into a new season. Good luck, Tigers. Here's to a safe and victorious year from your one and only Princeton Electric Plant Board. They're not just a service, they're community.
Ever have one of those medical questions you're too embarrassed to ask?
I got a tick bite in the worst place possible. I heard if you put Vaseline on it, it'll just back itself out. Is that true?
Community Medical Clinic will join Coffee Talk to spill the beans.
Is hair of the dog really good for a hangover?
Text your questions at 270-963-9038.
How many ibuprofen is too many ibuprofen?
Listen, Middle Mondays at 8:15. You might just hear your answer.
Is that normal?
I mean, honestly.
Is that true?
Spill the beans only on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks for tuning in this morning. A little bit later on, Caldwell County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley will join us. Right now, though, we're talking with Tom Rogers of YourSportsEdge.com, and we've got a big football game coming up Friday night out at Tiger Stadium. Fort Campbell will be here. That's a Class 2A First District matchup again this season after Fort Campbell's been over in the other district for a couple of years. Tom, have you had a chance to see Fort Campbell this season?
I have, and it's a team that's a little hard to get a read on. They struggled a little bit early. I really think they've been trying to resolve what they want to do at quarterback, whether or not they want Perryman at quarterback. They obviously want J.P. Perryman to get his hands on the ball a lot. If he's a quarterback, he's going to touch it every play. So they played better as of late. They destroyed Fort Knox. They handled Todd County Central, a Todd County Central team that was already lean in numbers and lost their best player. So I don't know if their improvement is a thing of schedule or if they've actually gotten better. The one thing that maybe Madisonville should teach everybody from last year is don't take them lightly. Madisonville went down to post last year and let them hang around, and Madisonville ended up going home with Kenyon Johnson last year and taking a loss.
I think a lot of people will look at the Hopkins County Central scores this season, and Caldwell County beat Hopkins Central 31-20. Fort Campbell beat Hopkins Central 36-16. So, you know, you start looking at scores, and that makes Fort Campbell look a little better. But I got to see a lot of that game online, and it looked like Hopkins Central had a lot of turnovers, a lot of penalties in that game. But Fort Campbell is just good enough with those playmakers that, you know, they either want to give the ball to Dixon and let him run it, or from what I've seen, they want to throw it to Perryman and then let him do something with it.
Yeah. You better be ready to tackle Keyshawn Dixon. If you're going to let him run, you're going to see the back of his jersey. You're going to see the back of his jersey a lot. He's got speed. He can take off. He can break the big plays. They're not afraid to get him involved in the passing game. And Perryman can be electrifying. He can return it. He can run quarterback. He's got a decent arm. Those two give them a chance to hang around.
The quarterback doesn't look like he throws the ball too badly, though.
No. Like I said, if they feel that they need to, they will put Perryman back there, and then you have to deal with Perryman and Dixon both possibly running the ball. So I don't know what Henry will do. You know, he really would like to get the ball to Perryman as much as possible, and you can't blame him.
Yeah, Dixon is out there a lot, though, because he also plays linebacker for them.
Yeah, he's one of the state's top tacklers last year, And he is just a guy that they've got to have on the field on both sides.
It's a big game this week, though. I mentioned it's a district game again after Fort Campbell spent a couple of years over in the second district. And I'm not really sure why our districts keep being 6-4, why we can't be 5-5. Maybe it's a scheduling thing. I don't know. But Fort Campbell is back in the district this year. Todd County Central is in the first district this year. But it kind of makes all those games important. And I really feel like with both teams 1-0 in the district coming into this week's matchup, same thing I said last week, is I feel like the winner kind of has the inside track to a home playoff game in the first round.
Yeah, you're right. The loser has a tough road to hoe. I think no belittlement of the Todd County Central team, but one of the two teams is not probably going to get in. It's probably going to be a Todd Central team that has numbers issues. And then, you know, two wins may not get you in. And
yeah,
so
everybody's going to have something to say about it too.
Yeah. So, you know, you're going to need to try and win three, and most teams are going to look at Mayfield and go, well, that's not going to be one of them. So,
yeah, I think anybody looking at it has to have Mayfield at number one right now. I think the Cardinals are probably ranked third or fourth in the state overall. People always want to say Mayfield's down a little bit, but, you know, we kind of hear that every year. And then when you play Mayfield, they're not really down that much.
No, and is Mayfield ever down? I remember you and I probably remember a year that they started 0-5 because of schedule, and they ended up winning the next five and getting all the way to the state finals that year.
Yeah, so they're always out there, and not that Akawa County or Trigg County or Fort Campbell or somebody couldn't beat them, but I think we all have to put them number one right now, and then everybody else is kind of playing for the number two spot, which also gets you a home playoff game. And if you're Caldwell County, you took a big step last week with the win over Trigg County, but now you got to follow it up with Fort Campbell. And Fort Campbell doesn't seem like it's a big Caldwell County rivalry, but back in the day, there were some great Caldwell-Fort Campbell showdowns when they were trying to get that second and last playoff spot from the district. We're talking this morning with Tom Rogers of YourSportsEdge.com. We need to get to a break here on the show. We'll come back and have more right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Stallings Auto Sales has an excellent reputation for providing quality cars at great prices. Stop by 1944 West 7th Street, Hopkinsville today. Stallings Auto Sales, your trusted source for used cars.
At Goodwin Insurance, they select their insurance companies the same way you do, very carefully. When you work with the agents at Goodwin Insurance, you can count on receiving fast, courteous professional service with quality protection. You deserve someone that provides comprehensive coverage and is working alongside you in your community. Contact them today for a quote.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
Since 1894, serving as your steadfast local banking choice, Fredonia Valley Bank. The world has transformed since then, but their dedication to you, their neighbors, has not wavered. Navigate financial complexity with a bank that's powered by 129 years of excellence. They're committed to investing in their community and the prosperity of their customers. Remember, choose local, live local, dine local, shop local, and bank local. Fredonia Valley Bank, where local people make local decisions. Your genuine community bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Take control of your health journey with Dr. John Mobley at Caldwell Medical Center. Specializing in bariatric surgery using the Lap-Band system, Dr. Mobley brings over 25 years of expertise to help you achieve lasting weight loss, enjoy personalized consultations, ongoing education, and dedicated support, all from one location. Don't wait to transform your tomorrow. Contact Caldwell Medical Center today. Better health, better life. Right here, close to home.
It's volleyball time, Caldwell County.
I'm Sue Stone, and I want to invite you to join me for all of your Caldwell County volleyball coverage on WPKY.
Join Sue Stone and the WPKY Sports Edge team Saturday, September 27th at 10:30 as the Lady Tigers take on Christian Fellowship live from the Cab, your home for Caldwell County Lady Tiger Volleyball.
Caldwell County Volleyball is on WPKY.
Back on the Sideline Report at 1580-103.3 WPKY. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're talking with Tom Rogers of YourSportsEdge.com. Tom, you still with us?
Yeah, I thought I had blocked my phone, and I got a phone call coming in. I'm like, oh, what do I do now without disconnecting? Yeah, well,
we're all good. We needed to get to a break anyway, so it worked out perfectly. You know, we're almost toward the end of fall sports season, except maybe for football, which is just a little bit past the halfway point maybe. But we're looking at soccer districts coming up pretty quick. Volleyball districts are going to be coming up pretty quick. And, you know, we heard all season, at least early in the season, that the second region in volleyball was going to be wide open this season. But when you start looking at things, Henderson County is now 17-5, and it's starting to look like the Lady Colonels are probably the best team in the second region right now.
Yeah, you would have to put them as the favorite. I'm a little taken back. I thought Christian County would be playing better. They should win the 8th district, but I thought that they might be the region contender this time with some things that had happened and with some players that had arrived there. I thought they might be. They've been up and down a little bit more than I thought they would be, and Henderson appears to be, like you said, at the top of the list. Madisonville's a team it's hard to figure out. They have had Heritage Christian's number this year, but then they lose some games they shouldn't lose. So I don't know. And then Heritage Christian loses to Fort Campbell the other night in five sets. Actually, and Fort Campbell's actually, what, I think 9-2 or 10-2 right now. So some of that schedule, but still that's a big step up for that program. But, yeah, Henderson looks to be, until somebody knocks them out, they look to be the favorite going into the postseason.
Yeah, so everybody's kind of playing for that number two spot behind them right now, but you never know what's going to happen when you get to postseason time. If you look at girls soccer this year, probably UHA and Hopkins County Central, which we don't say a whole lot, but those may be the best two teams in the region right now.
And guess who we get to see play each other tonight?
Yeah.
Those two play tonight at UHA. Hopkins Central, I mean, they picked up the big win first in 22 years over Madisonville. UHA shut out Henderson. Different styles. UHA's got a lot of firepower up front. Hopkins Central doesn't give up a whole lot. So that'll be an interesting matchup. And if I would say the winner of that comes out as your team to beat in the region tournament.
It's a difficult situation for Caldwell County's girls. They've got a great season going, 11-5 now. But the Lady Tigers are going to have a difficult time getting out of the 7th district because you've got Hopkins County Central. You've got Madisonville North Hopkins, which may be down a little bit this season by their normal standards, but still pretty solid overall.
Yeah, they're still pretty good. I mean, that matchup, Caldwell and Madisonville in the first game, one of them's not getting out.
Right, and that's going to be a pretty big matchup.
Yeah, that will be a big showdown. But, you know, UHA, as we mentioned, is pretty good. Hopkinsville girls, and you know, they're probably mid-pack. Trigg County could be one of your dark horse teams. I don't know that they can run the region, but they're one of those teams that's not going to be a lot of fun to play if you get in that situation.
You mentioned Hopkins Central with the win over Madisonville earlier this year, ending a long losing streak there. Madisonville, though, kind of thinks they can get Hopkins County Central in the district tournament because it's here in Princeton on a smaller field, and they think the smaller field may negate some of the speed advantage Hopkins County Central has against them.
Yeah, and then we'll have to see how that plays out. Of course, really, as long as you get in the region, winning the district is nice, but as long as you're one of the top two, that gets you in. And the region tournament right now is set to be played at University Heights.
So, and when you look at the boys' side of things for second region soccer, UHA's probably going to be there. Henderson County's probably going to be there. Maybe Hopkinsville threw its hat into the ring with its win over UHA last night.
Yeah, that'll get a little of attention, and maybe Hopkinsville, you know, in their final year, you know, maybe they're going to make a little bit of a run late. They had their struggles early, but that was a pretty big win for them last night and sends a little bit of a message. Trigg County's been a team that defensively has played really well this year. You know, they only lost to Murray, 1-0, a Murray team that won the 2A.
Yeah.
So Kyle Blight's got him a team that could be pretty interesting and pretty non-fun to play in the postseason.
So postseason play is just about upon us in a lot of sports. It should be a lot of fun. As always, we'll have you covered over at yoursportsedge.com. Tom, I appreciate you coming on and talking
about sports. Glad to do it.
All right. Tom Rogers there, everyone, from YourSportsEdge.com. Appreciate him coming on the show. Caldwell County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley will join us in the studio. When we come back, stay with us as we roll on the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
The Joshua Tree Boutique, East Court Square in historic downtown Princeton. A boutique filled with ladies' clothing with an emphasis on color and unique style. Beautiful jewelry, too. Follow on Facebook.
You look amazing. What's your secret?
Oh, girl, I've been taking the shot, the semi-glutide weight loss shot.
Isn't that super expensive and hard to get?
No, girl. I get mine at Princeton Drugstore. My starting dose was less than $50 a week, and I lost 20 pounds my first month. And if you don't have a prescription, you can talk to their telehealth physician.
Wow, that sounds great. I totally need to give them a call.
Princeton Drugstore. Your journey to feeling and looking fabulous starts here. Contact them today.
Whether you're cruising a Kentucky country road or weaving through city streets, try Sue's as the perfect vehicle for your next adventure. Discover their friendly team and check out a fantastic lineup of new, pre-owned, and certified pre-owned vehicles. There's something for every style and budget, so you can drive with confidence wherever life leads. At Try Sue's, you're treated like family from your first test drive to every service visit. Start your journey at Trice Hughes.
High school juniors and seniors, are you ready to take control of your financial future? First Southern National Bank is excited to highlight the Give, Save, and Spend course offered through Asbury University. This hands-on course teaches practical money management skills, including how to give generously, save regularly, and spend wisely. It's the perfect way to prepare for life ahead. Registration is now open on the Asbury University website. Don't miss this opportunity to build financial confidence that lasts a lifetime.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Did you know every time you shop in our big deal store, you're not just grabbing a great bargain? You're supporting local businesses right here in our community? At WPKY, the Big Deals Program allows local businesses to trade gift certificates for advertising, helping them grow as they reach more customers. And don't we all want our business community to grow? Help our local business community thrive and save money, too. Shop Big Deals at WPKYonline.com and make a difference. Visit WPKYonline.com and click on Big Deals today.
We are back on the Sideline Report here at 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for joining us this morning. Caldwell County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley is in the studio with us this morning. And Jeff, thanks for coming in. You guys have almost a light schedule tonight for a Thursday.
We'll welcome a little light schedule. We're in the middle of the busy season, so you know some places have the rainy season, and fall sports for most high schools is the busy season.
Lady Tiger volleyball is over at Trigg County tonight, so no home games on the schedule for Caldwell. Lady Tigers take a 24-game winning streak into that match against Trigg County and have kind of dominated the all-time series there, and Lady Tigers at 10-10 have a chance to get over 500. So, you know, need a good match tonight and need to start building for postseason play.
Yeah, I agree. I think they have as good a shot at coming out of the district as anybody. I think they've kind of gotten used to Coach Oliver now, and I think they're kind of moving. I don't get to see them play all the time, but you know, Tuesday night at the Cab, it seemed like in that second set versus Livingston, they kind of hit a switch. And when that switch went on, they started playing really well and kind of dominated the rest of the match. So hopefully they can take that over to Trigg County tonight.
Well, and you never know exactly when a team is going to kind of figure things out. I think with the football team, the offense last week against Trigg County, I think those guys looked like they figured a few things out.
Yeah, I think, you know, just getting a little confidence and being out making some plays and kind of just saying, hey, we got to go take care of this. I think that kind of – that mentality, instead of kind of waiting around to see what happens, tends to put you in a positive position. So I think that happened for us Friday night too.
Well, the one thing we've all been talking about since Friday was the weather delay and the lights going out. So from an administration standpoint, what kind of impact does that have on you guys on game night?
Well, from an administrative standpoint, it's just a matter of trying to make a good, safe decision. I think you kind of look at student safety first, and then you look at what the guidelines are, and then you try to stay within those guidelines. And then, you know, whenever you start having crazy things pop up that don't happen, you know, that's kind of what you're there for as an administrator. You're there to kind of, you know, help make those decisions. And, you know, when the lightning came in, Coach Kukiko come grab me, and you know, we started talking about it. We talked about the policy and what we thought we needed to do, and you know, we kind of got on. We use the policy says if you see and hear, you're supposed to sit for 30 minutes, but it gives you some leeway if you have some technology that kind of gives you distance and location. And you know, we had kind of been keeping an eye on it since it popped up early, but then when it got within about 10 or 15 miles and you started seeing streaks and hearing thunder, and you know, you just have to get kids in the best you can and put them in a safe place. And we opened up the cab and try to get, you know, offer that to people who were willing to. And if, you know, if families were there and families were there with their kids, and then, you know, they're kind of their responsibility, but we wanted a space for kids who didn't have a parent there. And then we had a place for our teams and our people associated with our teams. And you wait it out till it gets, you know, far enough away that, you know, it's a safe thing. And, you know, someone said to me, he said, well, it seemed like they were ignoring the lightning after the game started. And that wasn't the case. It was the lightning after the game started was moving away. It was outside of 15 or 20 miles. And you could see it in the top of the clouds. But the app was telling us that was a considerable distance away. So the policy allows you to make that decision. But if you're not hearing thunder and you don't see the lightning streak or strike, the top of the cloud stuff, you can kind of play through. So
yeah, Coach McClung made a good point on Saturday morning quarterback last week. Being up on that hill, you can see a long way away.
Yeah, you can. You know, one night it dawned on me, Coach Mack and I were closing things down after a game, and it was kind of lightning off on the horizon. And so I just got my app out, and he and I kind of both just kind of gauge it to see. And we were seeing lightning on the north side of Evansville. So, you know, based on what the app said. So, the phone apps aren't foolproof. They're not as accurate as a permanent on-site location. But you can – the policy does allow you to use the app to kind of help you make a good decision. And I think we did that Friday night.
Yeah, you could almost hear the crowd, though, moan every time the lightning showed up again because they knew that's going to be another 30 minutes before we get this game going.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's the way it is. And, you know, it's really unique because each of our sports – you know, that our outdoor sports kind of play in a different location. So, you know, at the Butler Stadium, it's hard to see. You can't see.
Right.
You can't see it coming. Now, now that the annex is down, you can see a little bit back towards Hopkinsville. But it's, you know, if it comes from the other direction, you know, it can get up on you quick, and you really have to pay attention to it. And, you know, out at the baseball and softball fields, depending if it comes back towards town, it can sneak up on you. But if it comes through, you know, those fields out in the outfield there, you can really see it coming from a long way away. So having the ability to have an app, and that helps you make a good decision, and you're not just, you know, sitting around every time it flashes and having to do it. But it got within 10 miles, and within 10 miles you just got to get the kids inside.
It felt like that kind of snuck up on us the other night, though, and when you looked at a radar, the storm that we kept seeing the lightning from kind of built over Christian County and Hopkins County and Webster County, but then it just sat there.
Yeah, well, it kind of I would call it a back bill. I don't know if that's a proper term or not, but you know, most things move from west to east, and that kind of developed to the east of us. So early on, when I was setting up, I got an alert on my phone that there was, you know, rain in the area, and I thought, well, it's east of us; it'll eventually blow on past, and we won't have to worry about it. And it just didn't. It just kind of back built towards us, and then eventually it got close enough that we had to take action.
And all we ever saw were a few sprinkles. You know, that was all the rain we got. But the lightning just kept coming, and like I said, we didn't kick off till 8:18.
Yeah, that's a late start. I know we got out late, but you know, we did the right thing, and I give having it to do over. I think we would do it exactly the same way. And you know, you try to kind of you're not ever gambling, but you try to kind of see what the policy says, and you try to make the best decision situation based on what the policy says. And the policy guided us, and you know, Coach K and I talked, and we talked with the Tree County people, and they were super cooperative, and they did a good job of kind of letting us make a decision. They gave us our input, and we talked about it. And you know, Coach K was a game administrator, so he made the final decision, but it was the correct decision. And you know, and then when we got out, we were able to kind of keep it going, and we didn't want to come out and go back in and come out and go back in, so we kind of let it get clear, and then we got started, and you know, had a pretty good night. So
one of the big questions always is, though, who gets to make the final determination, and at what point does the school lose the determination, and what point do the referees take over game control?
Well, you know, usually once the referees have officially taken the field in a official capacity so usually about game time, you know, you kind of – I don't think there's ever a time to where a referee will tell a game administrator, no, we're playing. You know, I think if a game administrator goes to a referee and says, hey, I saw lightning, you know, we need to stop, the referee's going to comply. And I think vice versa is the same. If the referee goes to the game admin and say, hey, I saw lightning, we're going to do this, and that's generally how I can't – because if you make a mistake – you make a mistake, something bad happens. Yeah. So nobody wants to be the one that does that. So I think for the most part, you know, the game administration has it and they're monitoring things. Once gameplay, it just becomes a cooperative thing between the two. And a referee can't see the weather if they're trying to call the game all the time. So the game administration has some responsibility to kind of watch that. So
we finally get homecoming going the other night. And just just as they're about to announce who the queen is this year, the lights go out.
The lights go out. That's a unique thing. And that's, you know, one thing I was kind of relieved when I looked up and the lights at the school and the lights on the scoreboard and the sign was all still on. So I thought, well, maybe this is a quick light fix that we can kind of get going. So it's not a total power outage from the storm or from something else. And, you know, unfortunately, it was a car accident. But fortunately, we were able to kind of get the lights to come back on and keep playing. So,
but the timing could not have been more perfect as far as the homecoming court being announced.
Yeah.
And we're literally waiting just for the queen to be announced, and then the lights go out.
And, you know, Mr. Brown did a great job of kind of continuing to that moment and then pausing and then letting the lights come back on and kind of finishing it out. So that'll definitely be a memorable thing. I know the queen will remember that, but everybody else will be like, yeah, she was the queen right before the lights went out.
So. Oh, everybody will remember that game. Yeah, as the night, right, it started late and we had the lightning and then the lights went out. But that was the point where I thought we might not get to play.
Yeah, I was afraid. I was afraid once the lights – my first instinct was, well, we've had lightning hit something and now the power's out. But then you kind of see the other things are on. You think, well, that's not it. So let's see what we can figure it out. And, again, Coach K and I talked, and I was like, well, before we make a decision, we need to know how long we're going to have to wait. And then it didn't take long for people to get on the radio and us to find out what happened and us to say, okay, we just need to let the lights kick off and cool down a little bit, and they'll kick back on and we'll be able to finish out. So
I don't remember a situation in the past, though, with the lights going out at Tiger Stadium.
No, I've been there in other spots, but no, I don't remember them at Tiger Stadium. I was joking. We finished the soccer meeting yesterday, and I was joking with the ADs. They weren't ADs the last time we hosted, but we hosted the soccer tournament, a transformer blew up, and we had to postpone and come back the next day, and it was sparks flying, and you know that was an interesting thing too. But you know, you deal with it. That stuff comes up, and you just have to make a good, fair decision for everybody involved, and try to get it in and hope you get to play. And, you know, just every situation is going to be different.
Now, a few years ago, we were at Mayfield, and we had a problem with just one set of lights. And I think we were about 35 minutes late getting started that night as they fixed those. But that was the most recent example I can find where we had a delay because of the lights.
Yeah, I can tell a story. When I was a freshman in high school, we were playing over at Webster County, and the lights went out, and our coach pulled us around a state trooper car, and they turned the lights on, and he drew up plays on the chalkboard there with the state trooper lights. As they got the lights fixed, it was storming all around. We didn't go inside. We didn't do anything. We sit there, and I guess it was, what, guys, 1988. We drew up plays, and then we went on to play a football game right after that. So
now I
times
remember,
have changed a little.
Yeah, I remember a trip to Franklin Simpson maybe 10 years ago where – at some point in the third quarter, half the lights went out, and we ended up playing the rest of that game with only lights on one side of the field.
Yeah. I can remember that, too. Yeah, that's right. So, it's, you know, light problems happen. I mean, I was joking with the Trigg County guys when the lights went out. It's like, well, it's like the Super Bowl. The lights went out. The lights can go out in the Super Bowl, and it can affect things, and everybody deals with that from time to time.
But my best light story, though, was back in the All-A Classic Regional Baseball Tournament in 2021 when Caldwell and Crittenden started their game at Dawson Springs.
Oh, yeah.
Got to about the fifth inning. Their lights wouldn't all come on. Some of them did, but not enough to keep playing.
Yeah.
So both teams packed up everything, came to the VFW ballpark, turned the lights on, and played the last couple of innings out here.
There you go. So you just got to come up with solutions, and if both teams agree that this is the most fair thing, you just figure it out and go play. So that's good that you're able to get those in, and you know, the kids get to play. That's what we're here for.
But I'd never seen everybody just pack everything up and change locations and change stadiums, and we played it that night. Literally started an hour and a half later, and here we go again.
And finish it out, huh? Well, that's tough on whoever's doing the pitching. taxing to have to warm up and re-warm up and all that other stuff. But it's, you know, if again, if both teams can agree and you can go and get it in, and, you know, problem solving is just kind of part of high school sports, especially small town sports where you know, when things don't work, it's not always an immediate fix. Yeah. So
we're talking this morning with Caldwell County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley. We'll talk some football when we come back. Stay with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Summer nights, windows down, adventure calls. At U-Ride in Princeton, your next road trip just got a whole lot closer without breaking the bank. From reliable sedans to spacious SUVs, there's something for every dreamer and cruiser. Need help with financing? U-Ride offers in-house options that fit your budget so you can turn those summer plans into reality. Drive away happy. U-Ride, committed to you after the sale. Visit them on Marion Road to start your journey today.
This is Daniel Ingram with H&R AgriPower. Get a great deal on versatile Kubota equipment today, like the Kubota L-Series compact tractor, the number one selling compact tractor in the U.S., Z-Series mowers, and Sidekick utility vehicles. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment with 0% financing available, or save up to $3,500. Now through September 30th, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more details. Come and see us at H&R AgriPower, 4900 Eagle Way, Hopkins.
Overspending on everyday items.
Is that a trick question?
Every dollar counts at our house.
Hello?
The Big Deal Store is your go-to for incredible savings.
Sounds like a lovely spot.
We believe in supporting local and helping you save big.
So nice.
Everything you need from your favorite local vendors at unbeatable prices.
Oh, yeah.
The Java Table.
Joshua Tree Boutique.
Bella Marie Boutique.
Shop smart and support your local businesses at the Big Deal Store.
I'm happy to.
Start saving now.
I save big every time.
With Big Deal Store at WPKYonline.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Caldwell County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley in the studio with us on the show this morning. And Jeff, another big home game coming up Friday night for the football team. Fort Campbell is here, and I was just mentioning during the break that I really enjoy all these home games.
Well, you can thank Aaron McClung for orchestrating this home stretch. So we're right in the middle of it. So we hope to take advantage of it and get a pretty good Fort Campbell team to come in here Friday night, and hopefully we can come out with the W. We'll see.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on the Falcons?
They're a dangerous football team. I think they've got some confidence because they've got some wins under their belt. They've got two or three kids that really make plays offensively. They're bigger. They're not nearly as big as Tree County, but they're bigger up front than they were last year. And you know, they're a physical football team, and they're tough kids. And they're not just going to come in and roll over for us. They're not the Fort Campbell teams that were, you know, sending guys to the NFL, but they're also not the Fort Campbell's team that had trouble winning games. These kids are pretty solid kids, and they're athletic, and you know, they've got two or three kids that can do some things for you. So we have to take them seriously. We have to come in and play. And if we'll play well, and I like our chances, but we're going to have to play well. You can't overlook these guys.
I think Micah Johnson is still playing in the Canadian Football League.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, because seeing him in high school, he looked like he should be playing in a professional football league somewhere when he was running around over there, and he was a big load. And
but how long ago was that? It's been a while, you know. And then he went to UK. And
yeah,
he's played in the CFL for a long time with several teams.
Yeah. Gosh, what was it? 06, 07, something like that. Yeah, in those areas. So he's definitely had a good football career, but I'm not surprised. You know, one of those guys. I can remember we're being over there. My wife asked me, "Now, which one's that kid that's supposed to be really good?" I said, "Honey, look over there, and pick him out." And she said, "Obviously, you can see which one he was." So it's not surprising that he's had a long football career.
Fort Campbell doesn't try to trick you a lot on offense, though. They want to get the ball to Dixon, and they want to get the ball to the Perryman kid.
Yeah, and those are – and then they'll try to get you with the quarterback too. The quarterback can pull it down and run some and attack your edges, and he throws the ball well enough to beat you in the air. So, you know, if you give Perryman a lot of space, they'll take advantage of that. And if you don't tackle the Dixon kid, the running back, he's going to have a big night. So we've got to do a good job of getting to the football and being gap sound and, you know, stopping the run and kind of forcing, you know, trying to keep the ball out of Perryman's hands and at the same time keep that quarterback in the pocket. So it's going to be a tough challenge for us.
Now, they've given up a few yards this season, which I think bodes well, because I think offensively we played about as well last week as we have since last season.
Yeah, and you know, you want the offense to start clicking, and now it's kind of time for those, for the kids to start putting things together about midseason. As we get into district play, they get comfortable and, you know, get used to doing some things and get some confidence. So we hopefully that can continue. And, you know, we're going to have to be physical up front and get on blocks and block on the edges, you know, all the things that you always have to do. And, you know, we have some playmakers of our own, so we have a pretty good little dynamic quarterback, and we have guys that we can give the football to, and two or three guys that can run and catch. So we like our chances, but we're going to have to execute and play well. And, you know, you can't overlook them. You got to have to come in, and you can't assume. I mean, this team beat a really good Massaville team last year.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, they're not going to come in, you know, in awe of us being 4-1 and having a good record. They're going to come in and, you know, they're going to come in and try to beat us. So we're going to have to stop them.
Got a win earlier this year against Tompkins County Central, and we saw Central in our opener. Talking with Tom Rogers earlier, Central had a lot of penalties in that game against Fort Campbell, turned the ball over some. So those are definitely things you can't do against Fort Campbell.
Well, yeah, you can't beat yourself. I mean, that's the first thing for anything. You can't go in and beat yourself and turn the ball over and give the other team chances with penalties or negate their penalties with penalties of your own. And, you know, so that's, I think probably if you talk to, you know, the Central coaching staff, they'll go back and feel like that, well, they could have or should have played better than if they had a chance. But, you know, the kudos to Fort Campbell because they took advantage of that. So that's, you know, they're an opportunistic team, and they've got athletes that can beat you, and you gotta prevent that from happening.
This is another game, though, like last week. It's a must-have if you want to have a home playoff game this season.
Yeah, it's a different dynamic being in a 16 district. So the games, you know, you don't get to go in automatically. You're not automatically guaranteed a playoff spot. So you got to go earn that. And I kind of like that. I like the fact that you have to go play for it. And, you know, so all the games are important. And, you know, there's not any gimme games. So you've got to go out and prepare and get ready to go. And I think our kids have done that this week. It's been a little bit of a challenging week because we've had some rain to deal with that we haven't had to deal with so far. But our kids are handling it well, and I thought they handled Friday night well. I thought they handled the change in routine and the lights going out, the lightning, and I kind of thought, you know, maybe there's something to be said for kind of getting yourself ready and getting and, you know, being focused and having to kind of make yourself focused in a little bit different situation. So hopefully we can build on that this Friday night.
We've had some big games with Fort Campbell through the years, and even if you just look back to last year, that was a big playoff win for us down there.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, being able to go on the road and get a win on the road in the playoffs is a big deal. And, you know, they were building on something last year as well, and I think they have confidence based on that coming back in. And, you know, they're kind of in the same situation that we're in. You know, they're back in a 6-team, and they're, you know, the game's important, and they've got to win district games to get in the playoffs again as well. So, you know, I like being at home. I like, you know, our atmosphere, and we always have a good crowd, and I think we'll have a good one Friday night. And, you know, it'll hopefully help us, you know, having them to come over here rather than trying to get on post and all that stuff. So
Tigers host Fort Campbell out here Friday. Of course, we'll have the game for you here on WPKY. I do have a basketball question for you, though. We saw the shot clock was finally approved, and I knew that was coming eventually. There was too many states that had approved it already, and,
right,
you know, they got the ball rolling, and it was going to happen. But from an administrative standpoint, what does that require you guys to do to get ready for that in a couple of seasons?
Well, I think Mr. Cash is looking into purchasing, you know, facilities-wise, and make sure that we have the shot clocks, and they're ready to go whenever you start using them. I think for me personally, we're going to have to find somebody to run the shot clock. I mean, I don't know if the state has a plan. They've talked about maybe using an official and having an official assigned to the game, and their job is to run the shot clock. If they do that, then that'll make my life a little easier. But if not, we'll be looking for somebody to run the shot clock, just like we have somebody running the game clock. So, you know, those things are to add to it. And I would say some of the schools' opposition to the shot clock is more about the logistics of making sure you have people to run it, because sometimes it's tough to find people to do those things. And we've been very lucky. I've been very lucky as an athletic director that we've had people willing to step up and do the things. But, you know, sometimes, you know, people just can't commit to, you know, 30 basketball games
right.
a year on a, you know, any given night. So,
and you need somebody dedicated to run the shot clock, because you can't keep the scoreboard and do the shot clock. You can't do stats and do the shot clock.
Right.
Somebody just has to do the shot clock.
You have to have somebody. And I'll be interested to see if they come up with something like football. You have the play clocks, But if there's no one there to run the play clocks, then there's a contingency plan. Mm-hmm. So I'll be interested to see if the policy and rules allow for that for basketball too. So we'll see.
Yeah, if you have a problem with the play clocks, you still got to get the game played somehow.
That's right. If a shot clocks happen or someone can't make it or whatever, you've got to find a way to play. So I don't think we'll have a big issue. I think we'll find people because people want our kids to play, but. If you're in a small school in a small place that doesn't have a lot of interest, and it's a rule that you have to have shot clocks, you got to have something if no one's there to run them. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, and they don't give shot clocks away. I mean, like everything else, they cost. And
no, they
it's
don't.
Just another expense for some schools that are struggling to make sure they have uniforms and officials and all that to begin with.
It is, absolutely. And that is, that's another thing that you kind of have to think. Again, we're fortunate that our board and policy, and I'm pretty sure Dustin's already on top of it. Mr. Cash, our facilities director, is probably already taking bids and looking to do that. And, that's something we're lucky here. But not everybody has that. So some people are going to struggle to try to find it. I know, I've heard people say something about using their portable clocks and, stuff like that. But, one of the things that you also have to consider when you put in shot clocks is, these aren't arenas that are basketball-only arenas in these
right.
gyms. And, we have PE classes. And, PE classes can be tough on scoreboards. And, when you're playing kickball with a bunch of freshman kids or you're doing something, and when you say, you can't play this because it's going to tear up these clocks, then you limit to what a PE class can do. So, gyms are classrooms too. So you have to kind of factor that in too. So I'm sure we'll get it taken care of, and Mr. Cash will take care of us. But it's just one of those things in which all those things have to be considered, and it's just not as simple as putting new shot clocks in Rupp Arena because, they're going to roll their goals
right.
away and, have a concert where we can't do those things. So
I think when I've heard colleges have an issue with the shot clock, they typically have somebody sitting at the table keep the clock, and then the announcer announces, 20 seconds,
yeah,
10 seconds,
yeah.
and then counts down the last five, which – that's a little inconvenient, but at least it allows you to go ahead and get the game played.
Yeah, and then, but if that's the case, then now you have to have a PA
right.
person. Because a lot of times for us in basketball, our PA person will be there for starting lineups or we'll just do a quick PA, and then, they're doing another job or going on to do something else. So, it just adds a dynamic to the people you have to have, and you just have to have people to do those things. And so we'll just have to find somebody to be the shot clock person. Maybe we can get a shot clock / PA person.
Yeah. Well, it's 2 years away, though, so you got some time, right?
We got some time to look into it. And I know, if I promise you Coach Mitchell's already thinking about it. So I can promise you he's already got a list of names of people he's got in mind for it. So we'll get it taken care of.
I'm not sure it will change the games that we see that much. I don't really remember a lot of teams holding the ball. Sometimes if you get to overtime, teams will kind of hold on for a shot or at the very end of regulation. But we don't typically see teams anymore that come down and run a minute or two off the clock before they take a shot.
No, I think in certain situations, I think a lot of teams hold the ball if they're playing a team that they don't think they can run with or whatever. But it'll be an interesting dynamic with the new foul and foul rules and kind of how that stuff resets. It'll be It'll change a little bit of strategy, especially late in the games for some coaches, I think. But it'll speed it up a little bit. I'm really interested how it'll affect the girls because I think it'll probably affect the girls' game a little more just because, typically a girls' basketball game is a little slower than a boys' basketball game. And, sometimes working your offense around and looking for that shot's very – if you have a girls' basketball team that can really run an offense and work it around for a shot, that's a huge advantage. And if you're having to throw up a shot because you're getting late in the shot clock, that might change the dynamic a little bit.
And the shot clock is varsity only, right?
I don't know. I guess so.
I hope
it's that way. I think, for the most part, you have a lot of flexibility with your JV and freshman games. And, so those don't really count towards any records or standing. It's a developmental thing. So I guess if two JV coaches want to play with a shot clock, they can. So
again,
those things are stuff you have to figure out on the run a little bit.
Well, I appreciate you coming in and talking with us this morning. Good luck to you guys Friday night against Fort Campbell.
Well, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. Yeah. Before I leave, I'm gonna give a shout out to my favorite number 56 on our roster right now. So Garner Stallings, if you're listening, here's your shout out, brother. You owe me now.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Riley, Caldwell County High School Athletic Director, with us this morning on the show. Also, thanks to Tom Rogers of YourSportsEdge.com for joining us this morning. That's going to wrap us up for this Thursday morning. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY.